Nesbitt, and this is the PoetryForKids.com podcast. Today's episode is an interview with Children's Poet Laureate J. Patrick Lewis. Hello, everybody. This is Ken Nesbitt with PoetryForKids.com, and I have the honor today to be able to interview the U.S. Children's Poet Laureate, J. Patrick Lewis, known to his friends as Pat. It's all right if I call you Pat?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. And we're just going to have a little chat today. Now, for those of you that don't know about J. Patrick Lewis, he is the current U.S. Children's Poet Laureate. He is the third Children's Poet Laureate after Jack Prelutsky and Marianne Hoberman. He is also this year's winner of the NCTE, that's the National Council of Teachers of English, 2011 Excellence in Children's Poetry Award. And Pat, I hear variously that you are the author of more than 50 books, more than 60 books, and I've even seen more than 70 books. So let me first say congratulations on having a stellar year, and then maybe you can tell us, how many books have you really written?
Oh boy, I if you count just poetry books, I suppose it's about 60. If you count picture books, if you include picture books in that number, it's 75. But who's counting? It's not the quantity; it's always the quality. And you hope your books will sell. Still looking for that Shel Silverstein Jack Prelutsky blockbuster, but
are we all?
Yeah.
Well, now, how are you enjoying your new position as the Children's Poet Laureate? And maybe you can tell us a little bit about what it is that you are doing as the Children's Poet Laureate. What do your duties entail?
When they called me to tell me that I had been so named, I naturally, as I've told several people, the butterflies in my stomach began tap dancing on my heart. And they told me that, when I say they, I'm speaking of John Barr, the director of the Poetry Foundation, said that my responsibilities would be light. That was his word. Mm-hmm. They turned out not to be quite so light. I'm doing a lot more traveling, conferences, some school visits, although I think those are down for just about everybody simply because of the economy and budget cuts at schools. But I've also, I'm happy to say, some wonderful publishing opportunities have come along. I suspect 90% of that is owing to the laureateship. So that's been a good thing.
You're so prolific, Pat. I wonder sometimes how you manage to find the time to write so many books and visit so many schools, and now with your extra duties as Children's Poet Laureate on top of those, I wonder where you find the time. maybe you're wondering the same thing.
I don't resent it, but I'm always dubious about being called prolific simply because it doesn't seem prolific to me, simply because I guess the nicest thing one could say is that I'm compulsive. Somebody else might say I have OCD, but I do spend an awful lot of time in my chair. And happily, I have a wife who likes to go even fewer places than I do. So I'm not hard pressed to go on vacations and such things.
Sure.
Which is a good thing because I as I say, I travel so much anyway, and I didn't get into this business until quite late. I had another life.
Well, that was my next question. I'm sure you get this all the time, but you were a professor of economics. Is that right?
That's right.
A scholar of Russian history. The question that just comes to mind, and myself as a children's poet, I get the same question, why did you decide to become a poet, or how did you become a poet? So my question for you really is, what was it that got you to decide, hey, I want to actually you know, try my hand at this, or maybe even go full time as a children's author? What was it that made that difference for you?
Well, it was serendipity. I happened to stumble into poetry just on the sunny side of 40. The magic teacher never appeared in my life at the best stage. And so the people I met were all in the social sciences, and that's why I went on to get a PhD in economics. But when I was nearing the age of 40, I was introduced to poetry, and then I just fell in love with it. And that was about the only thing I knew about it, was that I loved it. And so I stopped pretty much everything I was doing. I mean, I continued teaching, but I read exhaustively in poetry, books of poetry, books about poetry. And I did that for almost 4 years until I thought I knew something about the craft. And then I started writing adult poems. And I got a few published, but if you try to get a collection of adult poems published in the U.S., you realize it's a mug's game. I happened to do that just last year for the first time. But then somehow I turned to children's poetry, which was actually much more rewarding. And I never looked back. I mean, I loved college teaching. I thought it was the best thing that could ever happen to someone, and it turned out I was wrong. The best thing that could happen to me was poetry and children's books.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, I noticed, though, that it doesn't look like you have any books of children's poetry out this year. Maybe I'm mistaken about that, but I see you've got a few new picture books out this year, and you've got poetry books scheduled to come out early next year. Is that right?
Let's see. There is a poetry book that I did with Jane Yolen,
right?
That just came out in August, called "Self-Portrait with Seven Fingers: A Life of Marc Chagall in Verse."
Ooh, I have not seen that one. I'll have to take a look.
Yeah, that's a different book. I mean, it's obviously for older kids, mm-hmm. and it's. It uses original art, original Chagall art. It's published by Creative Editions, which is my favorite publisher. And then next year I have a book called, I have several books, but I have another one with Jane Yolen called Last Laughs, Animal Epitaphs.
Right.
And then I have one called Edgar Allan and Poe's Pies, and other math puzzlers and classic poems. I've taken classic, well-known poems and rewritten them as math problems.
Nice. So which begs the question, you seem to have an affinity for math and science poetry. You've written Scientrickery and Arithmetical. And
yeah.
Edgar Allan Poe's Pie.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Sure. It's not just a math and science. It's actually just about anything. I think if I have an objective in all of this, it is to write across the curriculum. So I do write science books. I have a book coming out. Actually, it's a second book of poems for civil rights leaders. And I have a collection coming out with Douglas Florian called Poem Mobiles, Imaginary Car Poems. So I'm trying to, you know, I'm just trying to touch everything under the sun. And sometimes I'll write for the very young, maybe a kindergarten cat, a story in verse, which obviously is for kindergartners. But then I'll write, I like to think I'm somehow creating a new genre called adult picture books. I'm not sure who's going to buy them, but Creative Editions has done, I think, 11 or 12 of my books in there. They're just gorgeous books.
I saw you had a book come out earlier this year called And the Soldiers Sang. Is that in that?
That's also in Creative Editions, but that's a prose retelling of the famous Christmas truce in 1914.
Okay.
And
so that's more for a children's audience, is that right?
Not really. As I say, Creative Editions doesn't doesn't make many books for children, I mean for young children. And they frankly don't care much. They're interested in beauty and the aesthetics of the book.
No wonder they're your favorite publisher.
Yeah, yeah. And somehow, I don't know how they do it. They're quite small, based in Mankato, Minnesota. They get the absolutely most gorgeous illustrators around. I don't know. I think it's not because they pay them huge advances. I'm sure of that. It's simply because those folks know that if Creative Edition makes the book, it will be have great production values and be a real work of art. And then the other part of it is they sell an awful lot of their books in Europe. I mean, I have two books that they've done, I think have come out in 20 foreign languages, two of my books. So very lucky. I'm very lucky.
Now, I just noticed that you and I have something in common. I'm sure I've noticed this before, but as I was doing a little bit of research for this interview, I came across it again, and that is that you and I have both had a book. We've had books illustrated by the same illustrator. Your book, Countdown to Summer, was illustrated by Ethan Long.
Ethan Long, black and white.
And Ethan has illustrated three of my books. So
right for Source Books.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And I just think he is wonderful. He's a terrific illustrator, and I'm glad to have him. My books. And I think your book, your Countdown to Summer, looks terrific.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's kind. Source Books makes fine books too. I think their production values are really noteworthy.
Yep, they do spend a little extra time on making sure the book looks as good as it can. So, Pat, I know that my listeners are probably interested in hearing some of your poetry. Do you have a poem that you'd like to share with us today?
I'm working on a collection of a big collection of poems. I don't know, maybe 140 pages or so. I think it'll come out from Word Song.
And you say you're not prolific.
Well, I didn't write these over the weekend, believe me. let me think. Let me see here. It's called, I had it here a minute ago. Here it is. It's called Too Fast, I'm Afraid.
All right, go right ahead.
Too Fast, I'm Afraid. Timmy McAllister, 9, was afraid of whatever moved faster than him. He wanted a pet like a dog or a cat, but nope, they moved faster than Tim. So his parents decided to buy him a turtle. That sad, pokey turtle was also 9. The turtle went everywhere Timmy would go, slower and slower and slower than slow, following slowly in line. They partied at birthdays when they were just 10, then 20, then 50, then 80. That pair, a man and his turtle, grew older than old, but neither of them seemed to care. And here they are now at 105. Congrats to the turtle and Tim, but Timmy's afraid, for he knows that at times the turtle moves faster than him. Anyway.
Bravo.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, I have high hopes. I'm always working on something new, just like you. And people say, when are you going to retire? And I say, well, that's not in the cards for writers. Writers never retire. They just fade away, I guess. I don't know. But the idea of not working is tantamount to not breathing. So, and tantamount, really, I should say, to not reading, which is more important than the writing. Anyway,
well,
it's been a great life.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to many, many more books from you, Pat. Congratulations again on a fantastic year for you, and congratulations on your additional opportunities coming up.
Yeah. Well, listen, my friend, you're still a pup, so so all of this awaits you in the future, I'm sure.
Oh, stop. Anyway, it was wonderful to get a chance to talk with you, Pat, and I appreciate you agreeing to do this little interview.
It's been my pleasure, Ken, honestly. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Thank you very much. Hey, and all right. Get back to writing, will you?
I know, I'm slacking off. Okay. Thanks a lot, Ken.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
This is Ken Nesbitt with PoetryForKids.com. This has been an interview with U.S. Children's Poet Laureate J. Patrick Lewis. Music by Kevin MacLeod.